Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, December 23rd. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. The governor's chief of staff and leading lawmakers were at the White House earlier this month to discuss energy production for artificial intelligence and what that means for national security. Wyoming News Now's Valeria Fugate spoke to Gordon's chief of staff, Drew Perkins.
Officials of the Trump administration invited state leadership and lawmakers to Washington, D.C.
AI, or artificial intelligence, is the fight of the 21st century, that it is going to be the arms race of our lifetime, and that if we're not succeeding in that race, that then we are conceding world leadership and potentially even world domination.
For AI to work, the nation needs affordable, reliable energy, which could come from coal, natural gas, and nuclear.
Having reliable, affordable electricity available across our country is the key.
The next steps now involve the legislature passing supportive policies that put business and energy growth at the forefront.
That's Wyoming News Now's Valeria Fugate reporting. The holiday season can bring a lot of joy. It can also bring a lot of stress. Mark Richardson with the Public News Service has these tips to preserve your physical and inner peace.
Dr. Robbie Johar, a physician with the American Heart Association, says as holiday schedules get hectic, one of the first things people sacrifice is sleep, and that's a mistake.
People usually need between 7 to 8 hours of sleep, so it's really important to get that good sleep, and it's just amazing what even just a good night's sleep will do to help you. Sometimes it's just in the middle of the day taking a nap.
Johar says people can also reduce holiday strain by setting boundaries, not just saying no when schedules get too full. He notes the holidays can also intensify feelings of loneliness, especially for people who've lost loved ones, making it important to lean on people who truly help you recharge. Mark Richardson reporting.
No cases of equine herpes have been found in Wyoming. That's after a horse that came up from Colorado to participate in events here tested positive for the virus. Equine herpes is highly contagious and causes respiratory diseases and abortions or stillbirths in horses. It's mainly transmitted through direct contact. The Wyoming Livestock Board says to quarantine your horse for 2 to 3 weeks if it's been traveling or been exposed to other horses that have recently traveled. Texas and Oklahoma have had multiple cases of the virus this year. The fungus behind a deadly bat disease has now been found in every western state, including Nevada, which just confirmed its first detection. Scientists say the finding raises new concerns for the region. Caleb Radel reports.
Nevada wildlife officials say the fungus that causes white nose syndrome in bats has been confirmed in the Lake Mead area. It's Nevada's first detection, and it means every western state has now found the pathogen. No bats in Nevada have shown signs of the disease, but biologists warn they could be vulnerable if the fungus spreads. John Young with the Nevada Department of Wildlife says a significant decline, especially among bats roosting in caves and old mines, could seriously affect communities and farmers.
They're incredibly important in our ecosystem. They consume a whole bunch of insects, and that helps agricultural processes, keeping pests down, keeping things like mosquitoes, like human pests down.
Young says they're ramping up monitoring, securing high-risk sites, and urging cave visitors to decontaminate their gear to help keep the fungus from spreading. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
As wildfires get more intense, there are questions about how effective prescribed fire and other fuel treatments can be. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports, new research has insights.
The 2020 season brought large, severe wildfires to Colorado. Together, the Cameron Peak, East Troublesome, Mullen, and Cowwood fires burned nearly 600,000 acres and destroyed more than 1,000 homes. But within their perimeters, some 25,000 acres had received fuel treatments like thinning or prescribed fire, or had already burned in recent wildfires.
Did they work? What could we have done better? What was the most effective?
That's Camille Stevens-Ruman, a Colorado State University fire ecologist and lead author of a recent study of those burns.
Those treatments still did something, even when we had those really extreme days. You know, we're talking about 50 to 100,000 acres burning in a single day.
According to the paper, areas that had been burned by either prescribed or previous wildfire saw less intense fire during the 2020 blazes. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Wyoming Department of Health has identified another case of measles, this time in Park County. That's on top of 5 cases in unvaccinated adults and children found in Fremont County. They bring the state's total this year to 15. The Park County case was a fully vaccinated adult. They had extensive exposure to the virus while abroad and developed a mild illness that did not require hospitalization. Of the nearly 2,000 measles cases reported in the country this year, 93% have been unvaccinated. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Astronomical winter started on Sunday. In honor of that, here's a look at the coldest and snowiest towns in the state. Last year, the Casper Star Tribune talked with Chris Jones, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Riverton, to get the data. The coldest town in the state? Bondurant. The average temperature there in December, January, and February is 11.5 degrees. Nearby Daniel is a runner-up with an average temperature of 12 degrees. Big Piney comes in third with an average of 13.3 degrees. However, for a while, Big Piney was known as the icebox of the nation for having the coldest temperatures year-round. That title has since been reassigned. The town of Moose is the snowiest in the state. It gets an average of 164.3 inches of powder a year. Pahaska, near the east entrance to Yellowstone National Park, comes in second with 153.5 inches per year. Bedford in Star Valley is a close third. The south entrance and Old Faithful measuring stations in Yellowstone dwarf those averages, but they're not towns, so we're not counting them. As a bonus, the windiest town in Wyoming is Rawlins, with Cheyenne and Laramie tied for a close second. Worland is the least windy. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. When did Wyoming's peregrine falcon conservation effort begin, and has it proven to be successful? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, how many times has Wyoming provided the national Christmas tree to be displayed in Washington, D.C.? Just once, when an Engelmann spruce was harvested from the Medicine Bow National Forest in southeast Wyoming, and that was in 1972. Congratulations to Jeff Allenbloom, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. We'll be taking a break for the holidays to see family, but we'll be back on January 5th. So have a great holiday and join me on January 5th, 2026, or as they say, see you next year.